Welcome to The Lovers,
The Dreamers,
The podcast,
starring Joey Love
and Michaela Burridge.
Welcome back to The Lovers, The Dreamers, The podcast. Only took us a year and a half, but yeah. For those of you who were avid listeners, hopefully you're
back.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Reese.
I don't know if my mom listens to this, but hi, Mom. So we got a lot to discuss. Obviously, we kind of ghosted everybody, including our couple of friends overseas that have no context to why we stopped recording. But yeah, so how much do we want to share, sort of dive into reasons why? We kind of...
Flyby version. I went through a really bad breakup. Mm-hmm. Joey got kind of sick.
Yeah.
We both moved.
Yeah.
Both got promotions at work.
Yeah.
Multiple.
We did. Multiple.
So that's good. That's the good news that happened while we were gone.
Yeah.
I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And we both got new cats. That doesn't really affect the podcast, but in better news than other things, we both have new cats now. I have a new cat named Jason.
Yeah, and I have a new cat named Muffin. So, yeah, I mean, life sort of obviously kind of got in the way of doing things, and we feel bad because this is a passion project of ours. So we really want to make sure that we are giving 110% focus on it. And we didn't want to start recording again until we knew that we could give that.
Yeah. So things might look a little different going forward. Mm-hmm. Probably looking at an every other week format rather than every week. But we'll be better at keeping you guys posted.
Yeah.
But that does mean we have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Today's episode is going to be kind of a here's what you missed in the last year and a half
year
of our lives.
Year and a half, yeah.
year and a half in Muppet news. Of course, there's going to be things we don't get to, maybe spend a little less time on, but we're going to try to hit the big things, starting with probably the biggest, craziest news.
Yeah.
As far as our, you know, Joey and I are pretty theme park focused. So the biggest theme park Muppet news in the last year and a half, of course, the big bummer that we are, in fact, losing Muppet Vision 3D.
Yeah. I remember getting that text from you. I was with Jade in Georgia, and I had woken up, and I had gotten a text from you. I had gotten a text from, like, multiple of our mutual friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, tell me this isn't real. Tell me this isn't happening. Like, it felt like don't think I've ever cried over a Disney attraction ever.
No, but we cried on FaceTime.
Yeah.
I called you on FaceTime and we sat there for probably 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And just cried on FaceTime.
Yeah.
Just both like in our pajamas, like just unable to process the news, because that was the first thing that I saw when I woke up too. I also woke up to texts from friends and stuff, and man, that hit hard.
Yeah.
And we all, you know, for weeks since the announcement of like Monsters, Inc. and everything at D23, there was, you know, oh, well, you know, it's got to go in place of Disney Junior. It's got to go in where the Star Wars launch bay area. It's got to go, you know, it's going to be here. It's going to be here. There's no way it'll be Muppets.
And then it was.
Yeah, it was. Guys, oh, man.
Yeah. No,
what a
bummer. Yeah, I feel like after having some time to process everything that's going on, I think the reason why, and a lot of Muppet fans, I feel like, feel this way, is like a lot of the reason why it feels like it hits so much harder than losing, you know, just a simple attraction is because it doesn't feel like a ride or like a theme park show.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, a piece of a museum or history or whatever, right? And so I think that I would hope that there is plans to preserve it the way that they say that there are, because like in the press release they said something to the effect of like We're finding ways to preserve the magic and yada, yada, yada. But, like, I really hope that they do that.
And I hope that it's something more than just, like, releasing the film portion of it on Disney Plus or something.
Right.
Because there's plenty of that on YouTube. There's plenty of, you know, film footage from inside the theater that you can find online, right? It's just like, it's documented in that way that a lot of theme park attractions are. But so much of the experience of Muppet Vision is being in there with the animatronics and with the Swedish Chef behind you and the bubbles and the Waldo projections and all the different effects. Like, it's truly, I don't know, you have to be in the room and with Sweetums and... I don't know, we're very lucky we have a lot of mutual friends that have worked that attraction as well, and, you know, maybe sometime we'll have them on the show to talk about working there, because, you know, of course, within, you know, we'll obviously talk about Muppet Vision again before it closes, and of course we're going to go and we're going to be there, but, oh, man, it hurts, and that whole area, too.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other part of it, too. It's not, we're not just losing...
One ride or one show.
Yeah, we're also losing Pizza Rizzo, obviously.
Pizza Rizzo is good.
Yeah, well, my thing with Pizza Rizzo is that, one, obviously, yes, we're losing Muppet steaming, but we're also losing, like, accessible food for kids. And I'm sure they'll find ways to, like, put, you know, chicken tenders and pizza somewhere else in the park. But the fact that we are losing... a show that pretty much anyone can partake in, plus food that most anybody will eat, is really a big bummer for me as someone who's just, like, looking at it from less of the Muppets angle and more of the angle of, like, accessibility.
Yeah. And also, taking away the Muppets aspect of it and just thinking about it as, you know, we've said before, we both are theme park employees. Thinking about it from, like, a theme park traffic, Hollywood Studios, it's kind of a, I mean, not a half-day park because the lines are always so long, but, like, it's, there's not much to do at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
And taking out that area, not only, I mean, Muppet Vision, yes, it can take up a lot of people in that theater, but taking away those restrooms are some of the biggest restrooms in that part of the park.
Yeah.
Pizza Rizzo, like you said, it's food that most people can and will eat. It's very, you know, easy for kids, easy for, you know, they have, like, my mom can't eat gluten. She, you know, they have a gluten-free pizza option there. They have salads. They have whatever.
Right.
That's a good option. They have tons of seating. You know, they have limited hours, but, you know. Mama Melrose, they're losing a whole sit-down restaurant back there as well. And just, like, space. You know, that's something that... Hollywood Studios sorely lacks is space.
Yeah, it's really hard to make more room when you're confined to the spot, because, I mean, they're going to have to eventually just sort of go outward into, like, backstage and parking lot areas. But, I mean, obviously there are people who make more money than us and have these ideas, you know, down the pipeline for years and years and years. So they have figured out a way to, like, you know, essentially fit everything in there. But I agree with you about Hollywood Studios kind of almost being like a half-day park, because I've always said that Hollywood Studios is my least favorite park because it has no central identity.
Right.
And, like, part of that had to do with the fact that it was going from... Well, even before I say what I'm about to say, Harry Potter ruined everything. Because the Harry Potter land in Universal Studios, the level of immersion, as cool as it is, and especially as someone who is not a Harry Potter fan, like, the level of immersion that you got, that was the catalyst for changing how theme parks work. It was like, we want to make sure that everyone feels like they are in the world of the movie rather than just being, like, adjacent to it.
Yeah.
And so with that... Hollywood Studios went through this thing of, like, no one really cares about how movies are made anymore, so they want to be in the movie. So it's like, I feel as though what they should have done is, if that's the case, then turn Muppets Courtyard, make it even more campy. Be in the world of the Muppets.
Right.
And then we would not be in this problem, so to speak, of like replacing, trying to figure out where they're going to put Muppet Vision and or what they're going to do with it.
Yeah. I, like I said, I'm sure we'll have another episode about Muppet Vision where I can and will complain more about what I'm going to say. But I feel, and we're going to soon move into the next portion of this Hollywood Studios conversation, but I think that I would be more forgiving of this change if they had made it more Star Wars. Because at least then they would be bridging Star Wars to Star Wars. Because yeah. Right now it goes Star Wars, Muppet Vision, Star Tours.
Yeah.
And now it'll go Star Wars, Monsters, Inc. Star Tours. So why not just Star Wars at all and bridge? I think that at least would have made sense in my mind. And I thought that was kind of our security blanket for Muppets for a little while longer. Because I was like, well, there's no way they're going to make that, put money into Monsters, Inc., a dead franchise. You know, the last movie did not do well enough, I think, to deserve a theme park land. But, you know, like, Star Wars at least makes sense in my mind. That is a living, breathing franchise that it consistently drives the market.
Yeah.
Whether people, you know, enjoy all the Disney Plus, that they're constantly churning out new content at least.
Yeah, I think Monsters, Inc., the movie, the second movie, Monsters University, and the Monsters TV show.
See, I forgot that was even a thing.
Yeah, I only watched half of it, I think, and mm-hmm. I think there's two seasons on Disney Plus. I'm not really sure. I think it's less to do with, like, if the movies are viable and more the merchandise being viable. Because, like, I would argue, like, the same thing that's happening with, like, the Cars Land thing that they're adding in Frontierland.
Yeah.
I think majority of what drives Cars is less about what the kids are watching and what kids are buying. And I think that, like, Monsters, Inc. stuff, especially in the parks, sells very well. I mean, they just released those, like, Monsters, Inc. Crocs, and they have, like, you know, so... And then I also think that there's a level of, like, nostalgia factor for, like, just the original movie. Because, like, you got from Toy Story up until, like, I don't even know, like, what movie you could make the argument for in the Pixar canon. But, like, somewhere up until, like, Brave, there's, like... Every movie has, like, you know, kind of a hit. Oh, Muffin, now's a great time to play with your toy? Yeah?
She's a guest star.
She's a guest star. No, take your time, Muffin.
Right on
cue. Yeah, but I feel like it makes sense why they're doing a Monsters, Inc. theme park, or part of the theme park, rather. I agree with you that, like, it would hurt less if they were just bridging the gap with Star Wars, because I felt like Star Tours' days were numbered in terms of, like yeah, they added new show scenes and they added, but because of its, like, inconvenience of where it is, that, like, at some point, take out Star Tours, take out the stage area, take out Backlot, take out... Indie and sort of, like, make that area into something, because that'll give them so much space to build something. And I'm sure that's down the pipeline at some point. But I don't know. I just feel like Animation Courtyard, regardless of my opinions about Muppets, is also just a giant waste of space.
Yeah.
So, but now it's sounding like we're bitter because we are. But yeah. I feel like the flip side of this, right, to try to look at it in this, like, glass half full kind of way, is that we're not losing Muppets entirely.
Right. They're not completely going away because they are moving into Rock and Roller Coaster, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I do keep forgetting that that's happening.
Yeah.
because we didn't get a whole lot of details about how exactly that's going to work beyond, and it's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm eager to see how. My hope for it is that it won't just be, hey, you're still on this roller coaster in complete darkness with some blacklight cardboard set pieces, and it's just a new song.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that it's somehow Muppety. You know, I hope that when you go in the queue, that in, like, the room where it's, you know, currently Aerosmith and, you know, how about some backstage passes? I hope that maybe there's, you know, it will inevitably be screens. But I hope that I'm wrong. And I hope that maybe it's like an animatronic Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem or somebody. It would be so cool.
Yeah, I could be happy with either, because if it's screens, then that means that they actually filmed them, like, performing. And then if it's animatronics, that's cool, because then we're just getting new Muppet-related animatronics in the park. Yeah, I agree. I hope that they're just not doing sort of like a lazily attaching the Muppets and the Electric Mayhem to Rock and Roller Coaster, because it would be very easy for them to just, like, change the video, take out all the G-Force record stuff, or even keep it in there and just put, like, some, like, Muppets memorabilia in there rather than, like, the stuff that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then just have, like, a loop of, like, Can You Picture That? And you know, all the other songs from Muppets Mayhem. But if they go a step further, I think it would be really cool to see, like, them redesign what it looks like inside. Because the inside of it is very reminiscent of, like, Superstar Limo and, like, that, there's, like, that era of, like, Disney that's really into, like Pleasure Island kind of has that vibe of it, too, where it's, like, these, like, the signage is very, like, it's very campy and cartoony, but it's mimicking, like, a very specific, like, MTV VH1 style, right?
I mean, it's very 90s.
Right, yeah. And so I would hope that they would, like, lean into that, but in a Muppets way, right? Like, leaning into, like, the campiness of the Muppets rather than the campiness of, like, what, like, a sort of cartoonized version of rock and roll is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they do that, then that would, because I don't know if logistically inside of the ride what they can do.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a high-speed roller coaster. Right. They can't, like,
It's not Cosmic Rewind, right?
Right. Like, it's not going to be a story. You're not going to have Kermit sitting with you. You know, yeah. I know that, but, like, yeah.
Because, well, it makes it, but my thing is, too, is that we've seen them do this before with changing California Screamin' and Incredicoaster.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that also gives me hope of, like, maybe they're doing, like, they could do, like, full scale, like,
that would be cool,
like, animal, like, you know, hanging down or, like, you know, things like that. I mean,
like,
that,
a static figure kind of thing,
right?
That would be cool. I would accept that.
So, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm, like, cautiously optimistic about everything that is being added that's Muppets, and then I'm, like, just straight up disappointed about the things that we're losing.
Yeah. I have this, like, blue sky dream that they're using. So there's a villains show that is going in the former Lightning McQueen soundstage, right?
Yeah.
But there's also the Villains Land opening at Magic Kingdom someday.
Right.
My dream is that once Villains Land is ready, that they'll take the Villains show and move it to Villains Land. And that this is just kind of like, we're getting the hype, getting everyone excited. These are kind of like dress rehearsals, you know, and kind of like testing the interest and the, you know, kind of keep piquing everybody's interest. Not that villains need help, but like,
right,
you know, like keeping everybody like, oh yeah, this is so cool. It's only going to be better when the thing opens. And then they take that out and put Muppet Vision in. Also, that means they could do, again, this is all just like blue sky brain, if I ran the park kind of thing.
Right.
But my dream would be that this would give them enough time in my capitalism brain for them to be like, we're going to put out a big run of merchandise of like, you know, Muppet Vision 3D, like final act, like big merchandise run on like, you know, that. Give it, you know, 5-6 years for people to be like, you know, bummer, no Muppet Vision. And then like 5-6 years when Villains Land opens, that's a very
generous timeline.
Generous time period, yeah. Yeah. that's also very blue sky. In 25 years on Muppets Land, not Muppets Land, God, when Villains Land opens in 25
we get to
years,
announce a new Muppets Land.
Wow. Then they'll reopen. Wouldn't it be so cool to have Muppet Vision open in that theater right behind Rock and Roller Coaster?
Yeah. No, I've...
And then just redo Muppet Courtyard. Pick up Muppet Courtyard and
put it somewhere else! Yeah, I think that that's what I would hope they would do too, because I feel like...
And then Joey and I will go work there.
Yeah. We will be opening day new Muppet Vision.
Sorry to our three coworkers probably listening to this.
I feel like the Muppets, or not Muppets, the Villain Show was sort of, it was greenlit, and then like at the same time frame, they were like, well, are we doing the Villains Land? Like, let's like figure that out, yada, yada, yada. So I feel like these, like, two central ideas kind of went on adjacent to each other, but never, like, came into fruition to each other.
Yeah.
And then they were both sort of simultaneously announced, and I feel like that led to a lot of, like, not even just Muppets fans, just, like, general confusion of, like, why are we doing this Villains show and then opening a Villains Land in the distant future from when the show comes out.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of that lately. And, like, why is Cars Land not in Hollywood Studios where all the other Pixar stuff? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
My whole dissertation of what Frontierland was and what it is becoming, I could write a whole paper on that.
But this is a Muppets podcast.
Exactly. So, but... In terms of everything, to sort of wrap up our thoughts of that, because we'll have our like Muppets eulogy episode with friends that have been at Muppet Vision. We're sad to see things go, but Walt always said the parks would never be finished, and so we have to look at it sort of glass half full and hope for the best, and hope that everyone who is at Muppet Studios, at Imagineering, in the upper echelon of Disney, that they are making the right choices for Muppets fans. So,
and we're, you know, I do have a lot of hope that they are, and I know that there are people within all of those spaces that really do have that passion and have that drive for a lot of the same things that we do.
Yeah.
And I bet that somebody in there is going, justice for Bean Bunny.
Yeah. No, justice for Bean Bunny. That's all we can hope for.
Yeah.
It's just that Bean Bunny will get a little justice.
And if anybody is looking to rehome that animatronic, I have so much space.
We will have shared custody of Bean Bunny. We'll take good care of him. We'll feed him. We'll make sure he doesn't get lost. We'll give him all the access to fireworks that he could ever dream of.
Yeah. Joey has so many fireworks, you guys.
It's true. It's very dangerous and slightly illegal.
The look Jade is giving me right now.
She's like, that's illegal.
Stop. But yeah, so more on Muppet Vision to come. Always. Always in our hearts. So, like we said, we have a lot to cover that we haven't for the last, you know, year and a half, which includes not one, but two Jollywood Nights.
Yeah.
So I went to the first Jollywood Nights. I was actually at the third ever night of Jollywood Nights. And I had, it was one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah.
I went by myself and it was awesome. I went, it was the second, so the first night of the event, if you pay attention to Disney stuff at all, was kind of a mess. And then the second night, they realized they needed more to do. So they brought out a whole bunch of rare characters, including one of my favorites, Duffy the Disney Bear. And so I was ecstatic when the third night I was able to go and meet Duffy. And so I spent my whole night meeting Duffy and then going to see the Kermit show. And then meeting Duffy and then going to see the Kermit show. And then meeting Duffy again. And then meeting Duffy again. And then meeting Duffy again. It was one of the best.
Is that seriously what you did?
That I don't think I
knew.
I
don't think I knew that.
No, the only thing, I bought that ticket and I only met Duffy and saw the Kermit show.
That's so
funny. I saw
funny.
Every performance of, I don't remember what the show is actually called. I've only been calling it the Kermit show.
Yeah.
It has a name, but
I
don't know.
It's
I
the
saw
Kermit
it,
show.
Yeah, I saw it both times it was presented that night, and then I met Duffy as many times as I could in between. It was great. I wasn't able to go this past year, but it was just seeing Kermit and Piggy, like, live on stage in front. Like, oh my God. It was so cool.
Yeah.
They were right there. That alone, I think, was worth the price of admission.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah.
I had the little, like, banana shake thing they had the first year. It was actually really good. I don't know. I had a wonderful time. I hope I get to go again this year. I'm really glad that it turned out to be a successful event.
Yeah.
And I hope that they just, like, keep building on that.
Yeah. As someone who loves Christmas time and just everything about it. So I went both the first year and the second year, and the vibes of it the first time around, it was like you had to go into it knowing that it wasn't going to be Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and that it was going to be similar to an After Hours event. And so Jade and I already had that sort of expectation of that. And then when we went into it, we were like, meeting the rare characters was a lot of fun because we also met Duffy. We met, like, I think we did, it was like Phineas and Ferb and Chip and Dale, but Rescue Rangers outfits. Oh, awesome. And then we did, like, every show that we could. And I came out of it with my favorite show actually not being the Muppets one, but being the Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along show. I thought that one was really, really cool. And, like, you know, my love for the Muppets stems from my love of puppetry, just in, like, general. And so you got to see the giant Jack Skellington puppet that they use in the Halloween shows in Magic Kingdom. They use in that show as well. And so that took my breath away from the very beginning. But then the Muppet show specifically was just, like, everything I could have wanted and more. And then come the second year, they definitely, like you said, like, even from the first night of it to the second night, they took, like, they were like, things need to change. They took suggestions of how to fix it.
So fast.
Yeah, and then they did the same thing going from year one to year two, where they were like, the biggest thing was, like, there was no merch. They had merch the second year. There needed to be more photo ops and more Muppets, which they included both of those by doing a Muppets Christmas Carol photo op, which was really neat. And then they added another show, which that was probably my only show at Jollywood that I wasn't the biggest fan of. It was an ice skating show. Yeah. It was okay. It was ice skating. And, like, don't get me wrong, they were very talented, but they were lip syncing and they were, like, just, you know, the space that they had was not really anything.
Ice skating outside in Florida sounds difficult anyway.
Yeah, it was fine for what it was. But everything else about Jollywood, like, it truly is, like, if you get to come down during Christmas time and you're looking for a cheaper is a relative term, but a cheaper alternative to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and you're just going by yourself as a couple with older kids.
Yeah. It's very much more for the older set. I wouldn't bring, like, your 6 and 7 year olds, but, like, as an adult going alone, I thought it was wonderful. I would go, you know, my partner and I will probably go this year. You know, it'd be fun for the four of us to go.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You know, go with your adult friends. Go with your, you know, high school age kids. Like, it's, if you or your kids have outgrown Very Merry, which will always be my favorite Christmas time event. I love Very Merry.
I've never done it.
We're going to do it. I love Very Merry. But if you can either do both, or if you can only do one and you don't want the massive crowds, you don't want all the kids, you don't want, you know, it's very fun. And for Jollywood, a lot of people like dress up and it's like that old Hollywood, like it's fun and it's so different.
Yeah, it also dives into like if you're into very niche fandoms, that is also like the vibe that they had too, right? It's like obviously like if you're a fan of Muppets, if you're a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, if you're a fan of
Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
They do like a whole like Tower of Terror like jazz bar.
Oh yeah, and those singers were incredible, and they had like almost like Adventurers Club style walk around characters where it was like people from the Tip Top Club who are either like patrons or they're like staples in the like Tower of Terror lore. And like I don't really know too much about Tower of Terror's lore other than like the Twilight Zone part of it, but yeah, like it was really neat seeing them like roam around and talk and like dance and you know, have a little like drink or two.
That's fun.
Yeah, but Jollywood, highly recommend, and come year three, we will do an on-time review of it, and hopefully there will be more Muppets, and we know for a fact that they will not have the photo op in the same place, because stage one will be closed, so we'll see if they'll have it and move it. I don't know. We'll find out.
Or maybe I will have just chained myself to the building.
Yeah. Just
stay tuned. Let's see. I'm trying to look at our notes and think about what's going to be in chronological order. Joey, tell us about your experience at D23.
Yeah. So in 2024, when they had D23 in Anaheim, Jade and I went, and D23 had very minimal Muppets stuff this year. I don't know if you recall when we talked about it, or I made mention that when I went to D23 for the first time, that was also the year that they had the Muppets Christmas Carol panel. And, like, that blew me away. I mean, it was the coolest thing between seeing the Muppets live, seeing the Muppet performers live, and, like, the celebrities that showed up. I mean, Nina West was there, and Jodie Benson was there, and Paul Williams. So, I mean, it had, like, everything you could have wanted as both a Muppets fan, a Disney fan, and a Muppets Christmas Carol fan. This year, they had a Muppets panel, but unfortunately, I did not get access to go, and it was about Miss Piggy specifically and her history in terms of, like, Muppet 70, in terms of, like, her fashion and change, and I heard wonderful things about it, just didn't get access to it. However, on the floor of D23, they were doing this thing with cars and, like, Disney cars throughout the years, and they separated them in a way where it was like there were some like Disneyland and Disney World vehicles, there were movie vehicles, there were vehicles from the future, quote unquote, because they had like things from like Prometheus and from Tron and other properties that they own. But they did have Muppets cars, so I did see the little Interpol vehicle that they have from Muppets Most Wanted that Ty Burrell and Sam Eagle drive in. So they had that. They had the Muppets Mayhem version of the Electric Mayhem's VW bus. After they had that, they also had Beauregard's taxi that was a replica from the one from the movie. I don't believe it was used in the Great Muppet Caper. I could be wrong, but it was from the Backlot tour.
Oh, cool.
And it was also used in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I think, to promote the movie.
Oh.
I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But I do know that it was not, like, on the sign, it didn't say that it was from the movie. It said it was from the Backlot Tour. And then I believe there was one other Muppet vehicle. I have like all these photos are backlogged of every vehicle that I got to see, but it was really neat to get to see those in person, especially the Muppets Mayhem bus, because the bus itself is like, obviously you have to figure out a way to puppeteer in it. Yeah. So the whole bottom of it is cut out. So I'm showing Michaela the photos right now of them, and we'll post them on our Instagram as well, so that's you guys really can cool. see them.
So I don't know how we haven't looked at these pictures together before.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were purposely saving them for a day like today.
Yeah, probably, and then it's just been, you know, forever.
Yeah, but yeah, the Interpol car. and then there's a whole bunch of different cars. Like this one that I'm showing is specifically Walt Disney's personal Mercedes-Benz. It's a 1964 Mercedes-Benz 230 SL, if you're into cars, which I'm not.
More of a tow mater.
But it's featured in That Darn Cat. So it was, like, used in a movie. And it was really neat. Like, they had things from as old as, like, you know, pre-Disneyland cars.
Wow.
All the way up until the most recent stuff. Like, they had, like, Sharpay's car from, like, High School Musical 3, I think it was used in. And they had, like, the Prometheus truck was really cool. Like, I do, because I've never seen that movie. I do love the Aliens franchise, so I was, like, very intrigued by it. But it was massive.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, no, it was, like, the biggest vehicle that you could think of. So, like, times 10, like, wow. You know, Cybertrucks could only, you know, like, they would, it was something that was, it was really neat. But yeah, I mean, there was not a lot of Muppets things there. Oh, they also had Muppets 70th merch, because that was the start of it. That was specifically at the Imagineering booth. And they included a shirt and a poster that was the same design. And I wound up getting these sort of, like, collectible, almost like paperweight type of things, where they were encased and they look like the Muppet Show windows of different characters. They're supposed to be a part of a series, but they've only released the ones that they had at D23. So I don't know if they're going to come out with more. I don't know if I'm also going to buy any more, because they're like, they're not really my thing in terms of like my Muppets collection, but it was something Muppets and something to grab. But yeah, that was D23, and come a year from now, when D23 is in Anaheim in 2026, hopefully there will be a bigger Muppets presence.
Yeah.
And that's all we can hope for.
I hope so. chronologically speaking, was that everything you had on D23?
Yeah, that's everything on everything Muppets on D23. D23 as a whole, though, was fantastic. Can't wait to go back again.
Chronologically speaking, the next thing we have, this is a very, I didn't have a very Muppety year. My year was not nearly as exciting as Joey's in a positive way. our coworkers banded together. We found out that one of the Run Disney 5K themes was going to involve the Swedish Chef. And so one of our coworkers, our dear friend Emily Snow, convinced everybody to kind of crowdfund and essentially force Joey to run a 5K. Crowdfunding, remind me, this took less than a day?
Yeah, no, they raised the money for it in like 3 hours.
Yeah. So Joey ran a 5K.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I'll start with that, because initially when I was talking to Snow about this, I was saying, you know, working for the Disney company, like when you're coming as a guest before doing that, you're doing like the stuff that you would normally do. Now I feel like I want to do stuff that I've never done. So like over time, you know, saving up money to do like various tours or various like just like extra offerings, extra magic, if you will. And at the time they were doing the princess races. So Snow said, well, would you ever do one of the marathons? And this is a lesson in choice of words, because I said, you'd have to pay me to do it. To which Snow started it by giving me like $20 and then kept going, hey, do you want to see Joey run? Because, I mean, I'm not the physique of a runner. We got a raise, and I didn't train for it, even though I said I was going to. But I got there at very early in the morning. We parked in Epcot, and then they had sort of everybody check in, get their bib, and I took some pictures of various like Muppet marquee things that they had up. In terms of how Muppety it was, they were doing like Q&A, like the hosts were kind of just like asking people like, you know, how many races have you done? How many this, how many that? And people would be dressed up like Muppets. And then eventually when they were about to start the race, Swedish Chef came out. And it was the actual Swedish Chef, which was really neat. And he was interacting with like various people in the crowd from the stage. And then the race itself was a 5K. It was very interesting. Disney does a really interesting job of like getting local bands involved in like schools to like cheer you on and play music. And they're like cast members doing the same. And there were various screens playing like you can do this type of videos from the various Muppets. And so that was neat. And then at the very end, you got to see Sweetums. He was standing there from, it was the same Sweetums from Muppet Vision. And then they had the chickens also being there as a meet and greet option because since this was the first race of the four races that they were doing, they had a character representing each like section. So they had Mickey, Tiana, and Remy able to meet because this was Wine and Dine. And then instead of having the Swedish Chef, they had the chickens. So I got a picture with the chickens, took a picture far away from Sweetums, and then got a really cool Swedish Chef medal that on the back has like what would his official signature would look like.
Aww.
And then I said, I'm hanging up my running shoes. I will probably never do a 5K ever again until the next Muppets one. Then I will maybe consider it.
But we'll crowdfund again.
Even if we got people to crowdfund, I don't know if I would be like, I'm pretty apprehensive about it. But I did feel like it didn't hurt. Like, I felt fine. Like, I surprised myself in the fact that I, like, could do it and came out of it feeling, like, good. Is this what, like, exercise is, like, good for you or something, supposedly?
That's what people say.
Yeah, so maybe that's why I felt so good.
Maybe.
I don't know. But, yeah, it was fun. It was cute. Also ran into, shout out to Muppet Marissa, ran into her, because the last episode that we recorded was our interview with her. And she, even with her husband, David, they were like, when's the next episode? And I was like, some point, we'll, because that was the plan, was like to record around then, and then obviously life, but.
Pretty sure that was the peak of my issues.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, so it was a 5K, and I did it. But I got some cool Muppets merch.
And we're so proud of you. I would have been there, except that I was elsewhere. let's see. Next in chronological order, Joey, again. Joey spent a lot of money. Do you want to tell us what you spent a whole lot of money on?
Yeah. So, I, over this past year and a half, I have been incorporating more items into my Muppets collection. And one of the items that I was able to get my hands on was prior to the announcement of Muppet Vision's closure, somebody had posted a Muppet Vision cast and crew jacket. And I knew I had to have it, so I was able to talk them down from where they originally had it. And was able to get it for a modest modest price that we shall not discuss because it was a lot. But I do have it in my collection, and we will post a photo of it on our Instagram. And it is really neat. It's red, and it's got Sweetums on the front that says Cast and Crew. And on the back, it has this giant old-school Muppet-Vision logo with Kermit on it. And I do know that it is, like, official from the Cast and Crew because we're going to talk about a store soon that I got to visit and that we're eventually going to go together to called Recycling the Magic. Shout-out to Recycling the Magic. They posted the same jacket that I have, and they sold it as well. I don't know how much they sold it for. Next time I go, I really want to, like, see because, like, I think I got a steal on the price that I got, and they are going to be selling their items, obviously, to, like, you know, they're a store. Got to make profit. So, yeah, but I have this jacket. It's really cool. But Michaela, on the other hand, speaking of, like, cool Muppet stuff that you didn't have to spend any money for.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about this really cool thing that happened to you?
I do. So a couple days ago, I was, you know, just on social media, and a friend of ours had tagged me in an Instagram contest through Satisfactual Sign Co. And they have done a whole bunch of really cool Disney, like, sign replicas and just really cool. I think they're 3D printed, right?
Yeah.
Really cool, like 3D printed, like Disney themed things, including a whole bunch of really neat Muppets things. And they had posted a giveaway that included some really cool Muppets things and a cute little Figment guy as well. And I, you know, I never really win anything, but a friend had, you know, tagged me in this contest, and I had said, like, you know, whatever, I might as well, like, I'll enter the contest, I'll tag Joey, like, yeah, you know, it takes 2 seconds, you know, whatever. And so then yesterday, I woke up to a message on Instagram that was like, congratulations, you won the contest, and I was so excited. I texted Joey, I texted my partner, I texted the friend that had tagged me in the thing, and I was like, oh my gosh, I won a contest. So I'll have, it's like a little Figment, like, rubber ducky guy. That I'm going to give to the friend who tagged me in the post. A little Kermit, like, gingerbread cookie-looking guy that I'm going to give to Joey.
Christmas Kermit.
Yeah. There's, like, a little Fozzie Bear that I love. A beautiful, like, bean bunny. You know, in Muppet Vision, like, the wall trim that's, like, bean bunny as, like, the cherub? It's that, and that's going to look adorable with all my Muppet stuff.
It is very your aesthetic, and I'm very excited for you that you got this.
It's beautiful. And then a really cool, it's Kermit in, like, the tux with the cane that's outside of the gift shop at the exit of Muppet Vision. And that's really cool because one of my favorite, like, Muppets courtyard pictures is me when I was probably 6 or 7, standing right in front of that statue. And whenever my parents come down to visit, we, like, recreate that picture. Aww. With the statue. So that's really cool. So big shout out to Satisfactual Sign Co. as well. When I get everything, of course, we'll take pictures. Joey has some things coming from them as well that he bought, so.
Yeah, they just did another drop of their version of the fountain in Muppet's Courtyard. So it's a statue of Liberty, Miss Piggy.
I can't wait to see that.
So I wound up grabbing that, and it sold out very quickly.
Oh,
and
I bet.
Because they also did the comedy and tragedy masks of mm-hmm. Fozzie. But unfortunately, the drop that he did recently, like, it sold out within, like, an hour. So by the time that I saw it, everything was, not even just the Muppet stuff, everything was sold out.
Well,
so
it's all beautiful and, like, so detailed.
Very detailed, very high quality. I mean, I know that there's some other Muppet stuff he's working on coming down the pipeline based on what he's been posting. So I'm really excited for all the Muppet stuff. Jade just went into our little storage room and also brought out another thing that I wound up getting, which I had been dying to get my hands on, was the Rizzo Saba plush from 2003, I think. It's the same plush that they hold outside of Pizza Rizzo. It is not like Disney Parks Rizzo, obviously, but it's probably the best Rizzo plush that they can come out with. And I love him. He's so cute. So we're just like now cuddling him and inspecting him.
I love him. If he just like disappears from your house, he's definitely not at mine.
Not at yours. So a couple more things to talk about in terms of like merch and things that we've bought, because we had Festival of the Arts recently came up, and I got to see, like I said, I went to Recycling the Magic. So there's a couple of things that Michaela has not seen that I've added to my Muppets collection.
I've been so excited about this
collection. So I'm going to go and Michaela, entertain the kids.
Entertain the kids?
Yeah, I will be right back with a lot of really cool items, and hopefully I don't trip over the cord.
Joey's going to trip on this power cord, and I'm going to laugh. Oh, man. Guys, he really did make a mistake leaving me with this Rizzo plush. It's really cute. He's got a little jacket on. The jacket has little buttons. I kind of think that Rizzo looks like my cat. Although I kind of think that everything looks like my cat. He's very cute. His little whiskers are in pretty good condition. I think he got this on eBay. Joey had a whole kerfuffle with buying Rizzos on eBay. He bought one, and I think if I remember correctly, it just never came in the mail. The package got stolen or something. And so that was really upsetting. And then was there a second one in the middle? This is the second one. So this one, luckily, this one's in beautiful condition for being like 20-something years old. It looks really good. It was definitely played with a little bit. Some of the whiskers are a little shorter than others, but really for being so old, it's in very good condition. He's very soft. I might steal this. If Joey dies, I'm going to steal this. Joey's not going to die. Oh my God, is that what I think it is? What? No way.
You gotta save it for the...
You absolutely did not.
I might have.
How much was that? Joey...
Questions will be answered.
Oh my God, Joey, no way. So there was a lot of really good artwork at the Festival of Arts this year. And my parents came down during the Festival of the Arts, and they said they would buy me one art thing that I wanted, but we did so much walking around, and I kind of forgot that there was a thing that I really wanted them to get me, Sorry, Joey just put something down. That's crazy.
Continue your story.
There was something that I wanted that I forgot that I wanted, and they were like, we'll buy you one piece of art. But it was so long, and the day that we were at Epcot was so cold and so rainy that I didn't want to circle back for anything. And so what I got was a beautiful Jungle Cruise print, which I also really love, and I'm really glad that I got. But Joey got the other thing that I really wanted.
Yeah, so the thing that I got was they were out of the print, so I wound up splurging to get the actual canvas of Cowboy Kermit that they had at Festival of the Arts. I wound up having to get it because it was reasonably priced in terms of how much it was, and it is numbered and a limited edition of 1500. So I had to get my hands on it, and I now have it in the Muppet collection that will eventually be a part of the Muppets room, Muppets wall.
You guys can't see me, but I haven't closed my mouth since he brought that out.
Yeah, and all of these items will be on, we'll show them on our Instagram because we want to really get you guys to see everything that we wound up getting. Another thing that wound up happening, shout out to our friend Chris Black. He was selling a lot of Muppets figures, and so I bought a decent amount off of him. And so I'm not going to show Michaela all of them just yet, but I figured I'd show one of my favorites that
Joey
I was able
also
to get.
Kept telling me that he would tell me if there was anything I wanted, and then he didn't.
Yeah, I need to... Chris, if you're listening, somebody's got a birthday coming up, and one of the things that I didn't get off of you, I'm probably going to wind up buying off of you for somebody. Hint, hint. But one of the things that I got was The Ghost of Samuel Arrow from Wizard World Los Angeles. It was an exclusive made for the convention back in 2004. And Muppets Treasure Island is, I love the figures that they came out for the movie. And I am just one figure shy of having the whole collection because I started my Palisades collection with getting, my dad bought me from Wizard World Philadelphia, which I don't know if it was an exclusive to that con or if it would just happen to be there, Cabin Boy Rizzo and Cabin Boy Gonzo. So getting Samuel Arrow in my collection was a really big deal for me because that was like, that. If I had to get one thing from him, it had to be that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I got a lot off of him. So we will be doing an episode just like showing Mikayla all the items because she has not seen all this stuff.
No,
because I have made sure to hide it for a day like today. With that being said, this was one of my favorites that we got, and the only one that I need is now Kermit with Polly Lobster.
Cool.
Recently, also at Recycling the Magic, I was able to pick up some of the Vinylmations from Series 1. I got Sweetums, I got Waldorf, and I got the Swedish Chef.
Those are really cute.
Yeah, I had a few from Series 1 back home in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So those were, they're going to complete, not complete the collection. There's a few that I'm missing, but I was like,
those are good
cute
ones.
Now let's get into the really big stuff that I think you're going to flip out for. So this is the first one.
That's so cool.
So I am, in my hands is a Muppets Lab security clearance badge from Recycling the Magic. This was what the cast members, before they changed the costumes in 2019,
mm-hmm.
they would wear a Muppets Lab coat and this badge. And it has specifically, I love when anything's branded with the Kodak stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just miss the days of Disney branding featuring,
like
who sponsored.
Yeah.
So I got that, and it's really cool.
That's really cool.
I think that, I thought that you would really like that.
I do.
And then the big kahuna. This is, so, to preface, the people at Recycling the Magic, they were inside of their, like, storage area where they were sifting through everything to sell, and she was like, I have something that I'm not ready to sell yet because I don't know what it is. And so I was like, I have to have that. I'm not leaving and without that in my hand. Gave her a price. She gave me a price. We met in the middle. And I still don't know what it is. So when we post it, I would love to hopefully figure out where this could have possibly been in the parks. Because
ooh,
it is a giant vinyl sticker of the old Muppet Vision 3D logo.
That's cool.
And I did some sleuthing last night, and I was like, it could have been maybe on a trash can, it could have been maybe on, like, some signage that, or something backstage, I don't know. But we will post it, and I love it. I will eventually get it framed and have it, you know, on display for everyone to see. But yeah, this is essentially, like, one of those things that they were just like, I don't know if we're ready to part ways with it. And once I find out what it is, hopefully I gave a good offer
on
it. But like I said, all of this will be posted on our Instagram for you guys to partake in and see all the cool Muppety stuff. This is probably one of my favorite pieces in my collection now.
Yeah. Where could that have been?
Yeah, that's what I've been, the game that I've been playing is,
because it's not quite long enough to be like a poster. You said it's a sticker for sure?
Yeah, it is. It's on like, it's a vinyl sticker and it's on like, you can see like, the poster material.
Huh.
And it says on the back too, positionable premium vinyl.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, my best guess is that I found a picture of what the area that is now where ABC Commissary is used to have some, like, Muppet signage.
Oh.
And so, but I don't know how big the signage would have been.
Yeah.
Or if they made the sign custom, like how they do with, like, certain other signs, as opposed to putting a sticker on it.
Right.
So, I don't know. But if there's somebody out there who knows where this could have been, who has connections, holler at the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this has been to sort of to wrap things up and to play catch up on everything. We have a couple of things coming down the pipeline that we're not going to announce just yet, and we're going to talk about just yet. But we do want to talk about an announcement, a couple of announcements that just came out with Disneyland 70th.
Yeah. So upcoming. I think May 17th is going to be the official start of Disneyland's 70th anniversary celebration, which is going to be super fun. Everything they've announced already looks like a blast. One of the things that relates most to what we like to talk about, obviously, the Muppets. There's going to be like a Muppets almost like pre-show for their new iteration of World of Color. So it's going to be presented by Joe the Legal Weasel. Love that guy. And it's going to be the Muppets, and that's going to, like, lead into the new version of World of Color, which will be World of Color Happiness. So I'm just excited that there's new Muppets and that they are being involved in this big celebration. Also interesting that they're going to be so involved in the 70th celebration, because there are really no Muppets at Disneyland.
No, I mean, they took out Muppet Vision years ago over there.
Yeah.
So I think it's really nice. I think it with it.
And it's also the 70th.
Yeah,
Muppets.
Coinciding with that. That's what I was going to say. Is like, I feel like because they're both celebrating the 70th, I think that was a good way to intertwine the two properties together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're hoping to eventually go to Disneyland, both me and Jade, and then it's confirmed that Michaela and her partner are going to be going to Disneyland. So once we've seen the show, either one of us or both of us, we will absolutely give you guys a review and rundown of what we think of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will love it as both Disneyland fans and Muppets fans.
Yeah.
It'll probably be everything we could have wanted and more.
Very exciting.
A couple other things coming down the pipeline that we aren't going to talk too much detail about. On April 1st, I'm going to be going to a panel at Center for Puppetry Arts called Affectionate Anarchy, Muppet Prank Culture, a live panel with Henson Legends. It's going to have Fran Brill there. It's going to have Dave Goles, Steve Whitmire. So it's going to be really cool. So I'm very excited to get the opportunity to talk about that and review that. But, if you're listening and you're going to be there, come say hi,
yeah.
Because I'm very excited to interact with more Muppets fans. Any other Muppety things coming down the pipeline that we're doing? I feel like there's, a handful of things that we're keeping on the down low. But just to make announcements of things that we are going to be going to or seeing, or we also are not. I'm not going to be able to go to it. But if you get the chance to go see Fraggle Rock live, I've heard that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so there's a lot of really cool things, and we're hoping to, like we said, we're not going to do the podcast as often as we were doing because of all of our, like, busy work schedule and everything. But now we are officially...
We are back in business.
Back in business.
Yes.
So, with that being said, thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience. And
thanks for coming back, Mom.
Yeah. And we will see you on the next one.
Hooray!
Yay!
How did we end these things?
It usually was some sort of awkward
just kind of talk until you stop it.
And then you
just kind of press stop.
I press stop, and then
I think
somewhere,
that's how we do it.
And then at some point, it's going to cut me.
The Lovers, the Dreamers, the podcast has no affiliation with the Muppet Studio LLC or the Walt Disney Company.
The views stated by the participants are theirs alone and do not represent the organizations or companies they happen to work for or be a subsidiary of.
Thanks for listening, and you'll hear us next week.